This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
At public.com, you can earn 5.1% APY with a high-yield cash account. And while we can't say it's officially the highest interest rate out there, we can say this. It's higher than Robinhood, SoFi, Wealthfront, Capital One, and the big banks, too. Ready to start earning 5.1% APY on your cash? Check out the High Yield Cash Account on public.com. This is paid for by Public Investing. 5.1% APY as of March 26, 2024, and is subject to change. A High Yield Cash Account is a secondary brokerage account with Public Investing, member FINRA/SIPC. Funds from this account are automatically deposited into partner banks where they earn a variable interest and are eligible for FDIC insurance. Neither Public Investing nor any of its affiliates is a bank. U.S. only. Learn more at public.com/disclosure/high-yield-account.
On the program today, a little bit of small business, some economic data because, of course, and then mushrooms. Really? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace. In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdal. It is Tuesday today. This one is the 10th of October. Good as always to have you along, everybody. We are going to begin today with an eye, of course, on the Middle East and a couple of quick data points on the economic ripple effects of the horrible violence over there. Equities, which is to say stocks, here and in Europe and in most of Asia, mostly calm, up a little bit, actually. Crude oil today, down just a hair, but generally stable. The dollar, about which we talked yesterday, the whole flight to quality thing, also steady. So on we will go to our news of this Tuesday, starting with small businesses, the source of most of the jobs in this economy as it happens. The National Federation of Independent Business was out with its Small Business Optimism Index this morning. And optimism might not be the right word here. Just a quarter of small businesses say their credit needs are being met, that they can borrow money if they have to. So Marketplace's Justin Ho looked at the lay of the land of small business lending right now and how business owners and their lenders are feeling about things.
Ever since last year, business at Rothmans has been pretty good. The New York clothing store's co-president, Ken Gidden, says people are going to weddings and back to the office.
Things are under control, and for the most part, we can operate efficiently and profitably at these levels.
Gidden says he doesn't want to take on the risk of a new loan, because right now, he's not interested in making Rothmans any bigger.
You know, expansion just for the sake of expansion is not necessarily a good thing. At the end of the day, it's whether you're making money.
Not every business is feeling so content. Jess Harrington owns Jess Finest, a company that stages homes that are up for sale with furniture, lighting, and new paint. She says her revenue has doubled every year since 2019, and now she's at a pivotal moment.
I either need to cap my availability and turn business away, or I will need capital in order to continue to scale.
But many of the lenders Harrington's talked to are hesitant to loan her the money she wants.
They're very quick to tell you, no, it would be very hard for us to put you in this part. No, this wouldn't really work.
A lot of banks have been more cautious about lending to certain sectors of the economy that aren't doing so well. That includes commercial real estate and the businesses that support it.
We have looked at an elevator company that services office towers. We have concern about it.
That's Dominic Miartin, CEO of Optus Bank in South Carolina. He says he's not pulling back from the commercial real estate sector, but he is being more diligent. That's meant asking borrowers some tougher questions.
What happens if your business revenues decline? What happens if the interest rates continue to increase? What happens if there is a hiccup in the economy and this mythical soft landing doesn't happen?
Miartin says there are plenty of other sectors that are doing okay, so he's trying to pick up new customers that can't get loans from other banks. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
On Wall Street today, the bond market was open for the first time since war broke out in the Middle East. Again, mostly calm. We'll have the details when we do the numbers. You've probably got thoughts on climate change, right? Or the Russian invasion of Ukraine, or politics, or religion, or any one of a number of things that are happening right now. Well, after a couple of years where corporate America was making known its thoughts on those kinds of things too, because consumers wanted them to, the tide seems to be turning. A new Bentley Gallup survey says fewer Americans, 41%, think businesses should take a public stand on current events. That is down from 48% just 1 year ago. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab is on the corporate public relations peril desk today.
When deeply polarized politics became the norm sometime around 2016, Americans were grasping for some sense of control. And Barbara Kahn, a marketing professor at Wharton, says people wanted to vote, not just at the ballot box, but with their dollars.
And they started to turn to business people and think that business people could make a difference.
And boy, did businesses try. Companies marketed their way through COVID lockdowns, the murder of George Floyd, the fight over LGBTQ and reproductive rights. Now Kahn says the messages have become watered down and overwhelming.
Every time you go to have a beer or drink something, you have to decide, does this brand agree with my politics or not? I mean, that gets old.
Especially when the messages seem like a ploy to turn a profit. Remember that Pepsi ad where Kendall Jenner unifies Black Lives Matter protesters and police with a fizzy drink?
Consumers see right through that.
They see through insincerity. Cynthia Clark, who authored the Bentley Gallup study, says consumers are more interested in topics that connect with a brand's identity. Climate change is high on that list, maybe because manufacturing can have a heavy carbon footprint. Consumers also care about mental health and the way companies support their own workers.
Companies do have some sort of control over that, right? You know, they provide those benefits.
In the end, consumers also just have different standards for different products. Maybe we don't care what our toothpaste says about us, but we do care about what our shoes say as we walk through the world in them. Marcus Collins, author of For the Culture, says Nike's deal with Colin Kaepernick was controversial, but consistent with the brand and customer.
The people who saw the world similarly said, oh, well, I stand with Cap, and therefore I'm buying more Nikes.
He says Nike took consumption and turned it into a way for customers to show off their values. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
Wow, you have serious mushroom signage here. Not, honestly, something I ever thought I would say. That was last week in Vernon, California, which is an industrial city just south of downtown L.A., where we had gone to see a farm.
Is that the motto, we change minds with mushrooms?
Exactly, yeah.
That's Andrew Carter. He's the co-founder and the CEO of a company called Smallhold. And this is one of four mushroom farms they've built across the country, all of them in urban centers, of which this is the biggest.
We want to be as close as possible to our target consumers, and we have a lot of them here in Los Angeles. We have these farms kind of strategically located around the United States to access as many people as possible.
All right, well, let's go in and see what this one looks like.
Sure, let's do it.
Love them or hate them, and I know people have strong feelings. Mushrooms are having a moment. Market research puts the global mushroom market at close to $50 billion. They're increasingly being used as a meat replacement, as an ingredient in packaging and coffee alternatives, skin creams, and more.
So we have to gown up.
Of course we do.
Yeah, this is obviously a food production facility.
Yep. Gowned and gloved, hair netted and face masked, we walk through some double doors to get into a giant warehouse with a maze of smaller rooms just tucked inside.
Each of these are grow chambers that...
So it's a room within a room, basically. We're
rooms,
in a huge warehouse. It's got a bunch of little rooms in it.
Yeah, so there are like 35 rooms in here. Each of them are controlled by this computer system that we developed over the years.
That you developed?
Yes, we developed it in-house. It's patented. We call it FarmLink.
All proprietary really technology, right?
It's proprietary, right, yeah. Right. I mean, we like educating people how to grow. We like bringing people through. But these systems are controlled by this computer system that controls this big HVAC unit. Gotcha. We call this our kit, but it's essentially a mixing unit. So it's bringing in fresh air that's filtered.
Right.
It mixes it with air that's in here. It sounds not that complicated,
no,
but when you're trying to be efficient with resources and energy and water, then you have to be really careful with that.
Right.
Here, let's go into one of these rooms.
Yeah, let's.
Let's just go into here.
Because I'm going to need a... oh, wow.
Give you a primer.
I was just going to say...
Wow. It's maybe 15 by 30, this room. It's got, give or take, 2 dozen metal racks in it, loaded with what to the layperson's eye look like clear plastic bags of dirt.
All of our mushrooms are grown on sawdust. And so this sawdust is a waste stream from the timber industry. Most of the time, sawdust ends up in plywood. It goes to compost sometimes. It goes to landfill, but we're diverting that. And so in here is lion's mane. This is
What is lion's mane?
Lion's mane are these mushrooms here.
Those kinds
these
of
are
mushrooms.
Actually
okay,
a little
it.
Young, but they're really popular for us.
So there are people who know mushrooms who will know what lion's mane looks like, but
definitely.
This is not what a mushroom looks like.
It's some mushrooms it's, look like it's this, a, yeah.
But this is just like a blob on a pile of sawdust. I don't mean that pejoratively, but it doesn't look like much.
Well, the thing that you have to remember about mushrooms are that fungi are its own kingdom. There's some that look like the Super Mario mushrooms, but then there are some that looks like blobs. There are lots of mushrooms that you can't even see because they are microscopic.
Wow, we're getting misted.
Yeah, we're getting a little misty in here.
That's all right. It's all good.
These will be mature in the next 2 to 3 days.
And you will harvest them and ship them off to whichever retailer.
Grocery stores, restaurants. We don't do direct home delivery, but we work with other sort of businesses that do direct home delivery as well.
Here's the thing, though. More than 60% of all the mushrooms in this country are grown in Pennsylvania and then shipped across the country. And most of those are button, cremini, and portobello, which are all the same kind of mushroom, by the way, just harvested at different times. At Smallhold, they're growing other varieties, like those lion's mane we were looking at. They don't ship as well as the ones you're used to seeing in grocery stores, which is why the company is building a network of farms to bring the supply chain closer to you, the would-be buyer.
All right, we got to get out of here because I'm getting soaked
by
all this.
It's okay, yeah. Let's go to another room.
Yeah.
You want to go over here? Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Thanks.
So these are probably your more...
These look like mushrooms.
Yeah. So these are blue oyster mushrooms, very popular mushroom for us. They grow really rapidly. Those little clusters will look like this in a couple days.
So why mushrooms? How did this happen for you?
I've always been doing farming stuff. Not always, but I grew up in Los Angeles originally. Moved to New York in 2009. And kind of was at the right place at the right time. There were a lot of people building greenhouses, and I helped a lot of people build lettuce production. That was what I was really into. Mm. And then started playing around with mushrooms. And initially, it was just because I like growing stuff indoors. I think it's really important for our society to figure out how to grow stuff indoors because our ecosystem is changing and we need to figure out how to feed the future. But then once you start getting into mushrooms, then you start becoming obsessed with mushrooms. And that's like the whole thing with mushrooms.
I wish you could see your face right now because you're lighting up.
What I love about one of the many things I love about mushrooms is the effect that it has on people. Like anyone who knows a mushroom person knows how obsessed people can get with mushrooms, which make it like a really interesting product to grow and to sell. And we want to be the leader in high quality, sustainably produced mushrooms.
So I did an interview with a guy running a vertical farm indoors in New York, growing lettuces and leafy things and all this jazz. And, and we had a good conversation, and then it aired, and I got clobbered because I didn't ask him about the energy and electricity costs of running a facility inside like this. And so the question now to you is, look, I understand you want to be sustainable and it's all that stuff, but this is all, it's electrified and there's an HVAC, right? So... Are you really that green? Are you really that, you know, is your footprint that great?
Yeah, so it's definitely...
Holy cow, it's cold in here.
Yeah, it's a little cold. Maybe I'll answer that in a second when we go outside. But anyway, this is where we pack out all of the mushrooms into our packages.
Oh, yeah, look at that. California grown, small.
These are lion's mane.
And so this, like, maybe this morning or yesterday was in one of those rooms? Basically?
Yeah, probably today, honestly.
That's crazy.
Maybe today or yesterday, yeah.
What's this going to retail for?
So this is
8 ounces of lion's mane mushroom.
Yeah.
What's it going to cost?
It depends on the store, but it's between $8.99 and $12.99.
That's not nothing for mushrooms.
You know,
right?
It's not nothing, but it's also a pretty decent amount of mushrooms. Most mushrooms that you'll see is a 6 ounce or a 4 ounce clam.
Yeah.
It's definitely more expensive than button mushrooms.
Yeah, well, they've got scale, right?
Again, the best comparison is like the lettuce industry. You have head lettuce, and then you have arugula or spring mix or any of those, and ounce by ounce, those are extremely expensive compared to head lettuce. But they're still big parts of the industry.
Let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here.
It's got to be like 40 degrees in here, right?
Yeah.
God.
And you were asking about the energy consumption. Yeah, I don't want to skip that.
So let's... right, because we're inside and it's a big facility. And
yeah, so the key thing is that pretty much the entire industry is growing indoors. And so the playing field is a little more equal. That's the problem with the lettuce and tomato and berry world, is that you're comparing it to grown in the sun outside.
Right.
Even still, our facility doesn't use, like mushrooms aren't photosynthetic, which is actually the big problem with a lot of plant production, is that you're trying to imitate the sun.
Right, so we could be sitting here in the dark and the mushrooms would be fine.
Generally, so the trick is that they respond to some light, but it's not like they're like fluorescent lights or LEDs. That's actually one of the bigger problems with the lettuce production. And so we have a lot of data showing that we are more efficient than lots of other food production out there.
Are you guys profitable yet?
We're not profitable as an entire business yet, but we're getting there. It's feeling good.
Andrew, thanks a lot. Totally fascinating.
Thanks.
Totally fascinating.
Yeah.
Mushrooms being farmed a stone's throw from downtown LA. Now you know. Coming up, to be or not to be.
That becomes almost a philosophical question.
Yeah, it kind of does. First, though, let's do the numbers. Dow Industrial's up 134 today, 0.4%, 33,739. The NASDAQ added 78 points, about 0.6%, 13,562. The S&P 500 grew 22 points, just over 0.5%, 43.58. Another big Chinese property developer has hit the skids. Country Garden has failed to make a debt payment after its sales slumped in September. Shares fell more than 10% in Hong Kong. Meanwhile, Bloomberg is reporting that the government in Beijing is mulling another round of stimulus to boost that economy. PepsiCo fizzed up almost 1.9% today after raising its profit expectations for the year. The soft drink maker is betting that demand is not going to slacken as it raises prices. Bonds, we talked about those. Prices went up. Flight to quality, right? More demand, higher prices. The yield on the 10-year T-note thus went down 4.65%. Yes, a little bit lower, but not sharply. You're listening to Marketplace.
Looking for the highest interest rate on your cash? At public.com, you can earn 5.1% APY with a high-yield cash account. And while we can't say it's officially the highest interest rate out there, we can say this. It's a higher rate than Robinhood, a higher rate than SoFi, a higher rate than Marcus, a higher rate than Wealthfront, frankly, a higher rate than Capital One, a higher rate than Ally, a higher rate than Barclays, a way higher rate than Bank of America and Chase, a higher rate than Citi, Wells Fargo, Discover, and it's a higher rate than American Express, too. So if you want to start earning 5.1% APY on your cash, check out public.com. We can't say it's the highest interest rate, but it's pretty darn up there. This is paid for by Public Investing. 5.1% APY as of March 26, 2024, and is subject to change. A high-yield cash account is a secondary brokerage account with Public Investing, member FINRA/SIPC. Funds from this account are automatically deposited into partner banks where they earn a variable interest and are eligible for FDIC insurance. Neither Public Investing nor any of its affiliates is a bank. U.S. only. Learn more at public.com/disclosure/high-yield-account.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry. Betterment is here to help. Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns. Meaning, when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line, and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again. Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdal. The calendar for normal people says second week of October, temperatures falling, Halloween right around the corner. The calendar for business journalists says second week of October, the start of the fourth quarter, so corporate earnings for the third quarter are right around the corner. We got PepsiCo today, did pretty well, beat expectations. Delta and Walgreens on Thursday, some big Wall Street banks on Friday. Coming as they do, these earnings after three down earnings quarters for the S&P 500, expectations are pretty low, but hopes for an upside surprise run high, as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman tells us.
Companies in the S&P 500 have posted earnings losses of 4.7%, 1.9%, and 4.1% over the last three quarters. And FactSet predicts another drop in year-over-year profits of 0.3% for the quarter that just ended, leaving investment analysts optimistic.
The worst of the earnings recession is coming to a close.
Quincy Crosby is chief global strategist at LPL Financial.
We've had negative earnings growth, yet companies have actually surprised to the upside.
And this is actually what happens most of the time, says Sam Stovall at CFRA Research.
54 of the last 56 quarters saw actual results come in higher than estimates.
So earnings might well end up in the black this quarter, which would be pretty good, Stovall says, considering that the years before, coming through the pandemic, were crazy hot.
In 2021, earnings were up 47% and then up 4.5% for all of 2022. So really, you could say year-on-year comparisons were fairly challenging.
The last few months have been fairly challenging for the stock market. A positive earnings season could help turn that around, says Jay Hatfield at Infrastructure Capital Advisors.
We're optimistic that the stock price reaction will be positive because the market was quite weak. Expectations are pretty low.
Hatfield is bracing for rough earnings reports in a few sectors, small regional banks that are highly exposed to commercial real estate risk, and multinationals trying to sell abroad in a weak global economy. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
About a third of the judges in the United States, we're talking state court judges now, are women. But if you type the word judge into the artificial intelligence image generator Stable Diffusion, only about 3% of the images you're going to get back are going to be female judges. That's from an experiment that Bloomberg did not too long ago looking for bias in AI image generators. It also found that AI images of architects and doctors and CEOs tended to skew white and male, while images of cashiers and housekeepers skewed toward women of color. That happens is by no means a secret. Text-to-image AI companies know they have a problem. Their algorithms are trained on images from the internet, so bias in, bias out, right? But the solutions they are coming up with to fix that bias, well, they raise questions of their own. Here's Marketplace's Matt Levin.
I'm sitting in a small conference room at Adobe's San Francisco office.
We have it in the deck, so let's get started.
Let's do it. Okay. Where a company executive is very confidently letting me take command of his laptop.
Text to image is very simple. You type in any prompt and go ahead, try us.
Okay, sure. Alexandru Costin is vice president of artificial intelligence for Adobe. He's giving me a sneak peek at their updated AI image generation tool, Firefly, which is now part of Photoshop. All right, I'm going to do Darth Vader applying suntan lotion to the Easter Bunny. Firefly serves up four images, each of which had cartoony versions of the Easter Bunny. But instead of Darth Vader, we have three women, two of which are black, applying suntan lotion. Adobe doesn't want to infringe on Disney's IP, so instead of Darth Vader, you get a random human. And Costin says the AI wasn't confusing Darth with dark or choosing women because of some baked-in sexism. It was actually Adobe's de-biasing algorithm at work.
We generate diverse, gender-diverse, skin-tone-diverse content to basically represent fairly the population.
Basically, if someone in the U.S. uses Firefly to make an image of a doctor or a gardener, the chances that person would be a woman or have non-white skin would be roughly proportional to the percentage of women and people of color in the U.S. But does doing that distort reality? In Firefly world, about 14% of doctors should be black, the same percentage as the black population in the U.S. But in the messy, unequal real world, only 6% of doctors are black. So should AI images depict the world as it is or as it should be?
That becomes almost a philosophical question.
Ruman Chowdhury is a responsible AI fellow at Harvard. She generally believes that AI should reflect the world we want to see.
So, you know, companies want to build these products into search engines. They want to have it be part of our everyday lives. So is it actually creating this reality that it's talking about? Or is it, you know, or is it perpetuating biases?
Chowdhury says the big problem with AI image generators is a lack of diversity in the photos used to train AI systems, which is why Jacques Bastien has been getting emails from AI companies lately.
There are other companies that reach out to us specifically because they wanted access to our photos, essentially paying us to use our photos to train the AI.
Bastien is the co-founder of Nappy.com, a stock photo website and photography studio devoted to capturing black and brown people in everyday settings. The inspiration for Nappy came from his frustration trying to find diverse photos from traditional stock websites.
Black people drink coffee, right? And so we would go to those sites and type in coffee drinkers. You know, we wouldn't find anything.
Bastien says he supports AI image companies trying to find more diverse training photos, just not his photos.
Well, we spent, you know, years acquiring and shooting and building, you know, we're not just going to contribute that just to even eventually be replaced tomorrow.
Bastien can see a future where companies use AI to create fake black and brown people for their marketing materials. He says that raises another ethical question.
When you go to Nappy Library, you know it's probably shot by a black photographer. It includes black subjects. So however that went down, people got paid, whereas the AI, probably not.
But Bastien says as a business owner, he gets it. He wouldn't blame a company for using a cheaper option. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
This final note on the way out today, you've probably heard by now the International Monetary Fund was out with its latest predictions of global economic growth this morning. I will spare you the details on that and just point out two things. Number one, the analysis was done before the events in the Middle East this weekend. But also, number two, the IMF says its best guesses are, and here I quote, increasingly consistent with a soft landing scenario, especially in the United States. So there you go. All right, we got to go. Here, though, is your moment of economic context. Another ticker symbol to track should somewhat ugly and clunky sandals do not at me be your thing. Birkenstock starts trading tomorrow. Ticker symbol, it's too easy, B-I-R-K. Opening price expected to be between $44 and $49 a share. Seriously, they're ugly sandals. Our digital and on-demand team includes Carrie Barber, Dylan Mietinen, Janet Wynn, Olga Oxman, Ellen Rolfes, Virginia K. Smith, and Tony Wagner. Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital and on-demand. I figured I'd double down, right? I'm Kai Rizdal. We will see you tomorrow, everybody. This is APM.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.